few emblems in this world are as recognizable as the dollar sign. It's become a symbol of the United States, its economy, and basically money itself. And yet even fewer people realize that America's currency, currently the most important in the world, has a very close-knit relationship with Spanish money, and that much of what has to do with this dollar gets its roots from a Spanish coin that was very common, very popular, and widely used several hundred years ago. I am talking about the one and only Spanish dollar, as it was called in the English-speaking world, or the piece of eight, which may sound familiar to us thanks to pirate movies and novels. This silver coin was one of the great units of currency in the history of numismatics, or the study and collecting of things like coins. This is one of the great currencies in histories, my friends, and the one that led the way for the pound and the dollar later on. So let's learn a little bit more about why that is. Now, the name here. The coin, as I said before, is known as the Spanish dollar among English speakers, but that's not really accurate at all. And that's basically because the Spanish never called it a dollar. And the name they had for it was the peso, or the duro, or sometimes they combined it for the peso duro. And it was also very famously known as the piece of eight, or pieces of eight. And this coin was invented all the way back in 1497 when the Catholic monarchs Ferdinand and Isabella reformed the monetary system, basically in Castile, and created a unit known as the real, which is spelled R-E-A-L, like real. And this would become the base currency. And the peso, as we mentioned, was a larger unit worth 8 reales, or 8 reals, which is why it got the name piece of eight. And it was used both in Spain and its empire, as well as beyond in many other countries. The coin was made of silver, almost all silver. If you recall, one of Spain's goals in the New World was to seek out and find gold and silver. But of the two, silver was the one that predominated. And this came mainly from Mexico and Peru, but especially Peru and its famous mine called Potosí. And with that silver, they would start to produce coins, which they would use to support their economy throughout its territories that were growing exponentially in the 16th and 17th century. They were milled originally mostly in Spain, but not long after that, mints were put up and used throughout the empire, especially in Mexico, Peru, and Chile, and even as far away as the Philippines. The piece of eight became a very popular coin, and it was used as a form of payment throughout the world, or at least many parts of the world, as far away as the Philippines and China. China, for example, which didn't have originally a coin as a use of money, and so they were very excited to use that, and it became popular there too. The peso's presence was so common in so many parts that today it is now considered to be the first global currency in history. And this was because it was a stable currency, a strong one, a reliable one. The coins were nearly uniform in their shape, weight, and silver content. So basically you knew what you were getting, and that was one of their strongest attributes. In fact, countries like China, Australia, and Great Britain were known to simply take these coins and countermark them or engrave a new mark or seal on top of the coin, on the very coin itself, that would indicate that it now belonged to these countries. So basically they stole the currency and rebranded it. The peso's preeminence would endure for 300 years, which is a remarkable feat. Now, what is the relationship with the dollar? Well, let me tell you, there's a very big and intimate one. Before the United States became an independent country, the Spanish coins were very popular in the colonies. One reason was that Great Britain was a little bit wary of losing its pounds to the colonies. They feared they wouldn't get it back, and that might have an impact on the amount of capital that they had. So they prohibited sending pounds that way. So the colonists would substitute it with the Spanish peso. And then during the American Revolution, the Continental Congress printed paper money, which was supposed to have the same value of the peso, but it was quickly devalued during the war, in part due to the excess production of paper money, which is always a risk, a big risk. And so that was sort of a failure. Anyway, once the United States was established in 1792, there was a thing called the Coinage Act. And there the dollar became the basic unit. And they decided to make coins. And the first silver dollar coins were modeled after the Spanish version, after this piece of eight, and making it almost identical in weight, size, and purity. The Americans, I think it was Alexander Hamilton and his crew, basically calculated the average weight of the Spanish peso, as well as the amount of silver that went into it, and they pretty much copied it. So the original silver dollar weighed 27 grams, of which 24.1 grams was silver. And anyway, since the Spanish peso was still widely used in the country, it became legal tender in the US for a very long time. And what about the dollar sign? Where does that come from? Well, there is a relationship here too. Despite its ubiquity, this is actually a bit of a mystery, or at least there's no clear and universally accepted theory. It's sort of like the that other American contribution, the word okay. No one really knows 100% where it came from. Something similar happened here. Now, one of the most common theories also happens to be false, is that it is a blend of the U and S, as in the United States. They sort of put them together and it became that S with the line going through it. It sounds great. It sounds very American, very patriotic, but it's not true. Let me tell you about the ones that many scholars believe to be the best theories. One says it has to do with the fact that some of these Spanish coins on the back had had two pillars with ribbons sort of wrapped around them. So if you use your imagination, you sort of see this, the ribbon as an S and the pillar being the line going up and down. These pillars represented what they called the Pillars of Hercules, and the Pillars of Hercules is another image for the Straits of Gibraltar, which is the entrance between the Mediterranean and the Atlantic Ocean. And that image is supposed to represent Spain's overseas territories. And you see that theory come up quite a bit, so it's possible. Then there is another theory which says that the symbol of the S with the line or two lines going through it actually means total sum, and that it was located before the number. And why is this important? Well, when in Spain you talk about a currency and there's a symbol that goes with it or a sign, be it the pound, the dollar, or the euro, in Spanish they put that sign after the number. And this time it comes before the number. And the story goes is that the English-speaking world saw that symbol before the number and thought it must represent the currency itself. The way we do it in English with the dollar or the euro or the pound, we always put it before the number. But here the argument is that that wasn't what it was there for. It was supposed to mean total amount, and that someone just confused it. And so when they came up with the dollar and they wanted to come up with a symbol, they just used the one that was being used with the Spanish coins. Some people swear by it, but there's another one, another theory. The next says that it's the peso, the P for the peso, and the S for peso, and you combined it, and eventually it sort of evolved into what is today the dollar sign. And a lot of people subscribe to that one. In fact, the first recorded example of it appearing in written form was in 1778 in New Orleans, when an Irish businessman named Oliver Pollock was making some invoices, and he would put the dollar sign right next to the number or the figure or the value. Now, that's certainly interesting. I must add, though, remember that during those years in 1778, New Orleans and Louisiana belonged to Spain. So we would follow that Pollock became familiar with this type of symbol because he was living among the Spanish, who were probably using it too. Anyway, regardless, what seems to be the case is that whatever the origin was specifically, what we seem to know is that it comes from Spanish money in some form or another. So that's interesting too. The Spanish piece of eight, the Spanish dollar, the Spanish peso, circulated in the United States for many more decades. I remember the first time I learned about this years ago when I was visiting an old living museum in Massachusetts. It was a place called, I'm sure it's still there, Sturbridge Village. And there they had, it was supposed to be a village in the United States during the 1830s. And you had the different houses and the different places where people, you know, the blacksmith and the schoolhouse and things like that. And then they'd have a bank, and inside the bank, you had a display of old coins. And that's when I first saw the Spanish coins, and I was surprised. And I asked the man, he said, oh, no, that would have been normal back then, 1830s, for there to be coins, Spanish coins, and currency, because it was legal tender back then. Or at least until 1857, when a new coinage act was passed and the foreign currencies were removed from the system. A couple of other curiosities. You may have heard of the term bit to refer to a small amount of money. For example, you say something is not worth 2 bits. You're saying it's essentially worthless or of very little value. But there was a time when a bit actually referred to a specific amount of money. A bit was 1/8 of a dollar, in the same way a real was 1/8 of a Spanish peso, and that came to 12.5%. Now, there was never a coin that was 12.5 cents with that exact value, but the closest, the dime at 10 cents, was sometimes referred to as a short bit, and 2 bits would come to 25 cents. And if that sounds familiar to you, well, maybe you're thinking of the famous sort of musical line at the end of a barbershop quartet song where they would go shave and a haircut, 2 bits. And those 2 bits were 25 cents. So literally shave and a haircut, 25 cents. And as I said before, we still use the word 2 bits or 2 bit as a description of something which has very little worth. And then one other thing along that same line of 1/8, the concept of employing a division of units of stocks in the United States stock market has part of its origin there. I can still remember looking at the newspaper years ago, and you'd see listings. They'd put the listings of all the stocks every single day, and you could see a share that had the value subdivided into quarters, halves, and up to eighths. And that goes all the way back to the tradition of splitting the value of the unit into eighths. It was stopped in 1997, which made sense, but it's interesting that part of the origin of the stock market values go all the way back to this sort of relationship with the piece of eight and pirates and the origin of the dollar. Speaking of which, the dollar is not a Spanish contribution to the United States. The dollar comes from Jacob's Thaler, which comes from Jacob's Thal, which was a valley in what is today the Czech Republic. And that's where that coin, which was shortened to Thaler, T-H-A-L-L-E-R, was first made. And it was very popular in Europe, and then got to the Dutch, and then to the English, and over to America. The Spanish actually had their own word for it. It was called Talero, T-A-L-E-R-O. But Spanish eventually adopted in variation of the English word, and they call it now dólar. So anyway, there you have it, a very brief look at the dollar and the Spanish peso, or the Spanish dollar, and that relationship they had. And I think it's very interesting. Not a lot of people know about it, so I wanted to share it with you. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments or questions because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the very best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.